Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles for those listening at home, on the road, in the air, or in the water. Do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. We're talking about the championship games that occurred this weekend, a little basketball, and who knows what else we'll get into. So buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
5 seconds left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! High fly ball in the right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound box. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game!
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Hit your free throws, because they have episode 301 coming hot at you guys. And so 300. And I'm joined on this one by Alex Tossman Rock Tosopoulos. And yeah, coming off a great episode 300 with Adam Rank. Where would you rank that one?
I would rank it in
the top 300.
In the top. No, one day we'll sit down and we'll rank all of our episodes. It was definitely in the top 50. I want to put it even higher than that, but I don't know. 300 episodes. There's a ton of episodes. A lot of the ones in the first 75
you could cross off,
or you could keep them because they're very near and dear to our hearts.
I spoke to
near and dear to my heart because it's fun to listen back, and it's not fun to listen back to the audio, but it is fun to listen back at, you know, our former producer T Mac Bolin.
I was about to say I spoke
from the corner of the room yelling, you know, nonsense about certain football teams. I'd love to get his opinion on, you know, the upcoming Super Bowl, which we'll get in 2 weeks from yesterday, because it's coming out on a Monday as it always does. But the Super Bowl is right around the corner, and if you're looking to place a bet on any of the sports going on, betonline.ag is the best and only place to lock it in. Seriously, right around the corner. Again, it's 2 weeks from yesterday, and we know who's in the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes returning after winning last year. He, Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, they all got their first Super Bowl. And of course, they're playing the Super Bowl legend, Tom Brady, who is heading back home to Tampa Bay.
First time.
For his 10th Super Bowl, and it's the first time, first time that the Super Bowl has been in the same city as one of the teams playing it.
It's crazy. You want to hear some crazy stat that you'll like?
Yep.
Because you like basketball? Mm. This is it's skewed a little bit.
Yeah.
Steph's career 3-point percentage is 43, which in itself is wild. Congratulations to him. He just passed Reggie Miller.
He's now second all time in 3-point field goals made.
Yeah.
In NBA history.
And barring, knock on wood,
and
disaster.
And he's 31.
Yeah.
How old is he?
Yeah. Barring a disaster, he's going to pass Jesus as well.
Yeah, it was really cool. I saw a video of Reggie Miller and Reggie Miller's son talking to Steph. It's really cool.
Well, Steph, like I saw, I saw like another, maybe it was the same video or a different video of Steph and like his adoration for Reggie Miller growing up. That was his favorite player.
Right.
And, like, they did side by sides. That was really cool. Reggie's a player that's always been super interesting to me because he's like one of those guys, like when you look at a guy like Jahlil Okafor, and we're always like, okay, he would have been better like in the 90s. As good as Reggie was, and Reggie, if you look at Reggie never had a ring, but he's like one of those guys like Madison Bumgarner, who Bumgarner is great in the regular season, but his numbers in the postseason are ridiculous. Reggie Miller's numbers in the postseason are absolutely wild if you look at them. And I always wonder how much even better would he be today with the emphasis on the three-point shot.
Well, just to kind of contextualize things.
Yeah.
Steph Curry this year
is
averaging 11 three-point attempts per game. At the lowest in his NBA career, he averaged 4.6. And that was his second year in the league. So 2010, you can see how just significantly the game has changed. I think I was texting you and our buddy Brandon, who we talk basketball with all the time, that 3 years ago, five teams in the NBA shot more than 33s a game. Mm-hmm. And now there's only three teams in the NBA that don't shoot 33s a game.
That's crazy.
Which is wild.
There's only two teams?
Three teams.
Do you know them?
I don't know which teams it was.
Okay, because I was going to try to guess.
But Reggie Miller never attempted more than seven three-point field goals over the course of a season.
I hate that. Like, what a waste of knowledge. I mean, it's cool that I knew that off the top of my head, but like also kind of sad.
And well, then, you look at that stuff, right? When you're looking at
I'm a
all-time totals, and the game the game has totally changed. And one thing I heard Steph saying was he was like, records are meant to be broken. So, you know, he expects someone to
eventually
break his record, which if he keeps pace, he'll end up with more than 4,000 threes.
Yeah, I'm curious. I don't think he'll do it now, but Clay would have had a shot to be second all-time.
Right.
I think Dame will put up maybe a fight for
James Harden's going to be second all-time.
James Harden, yeah.
I'm
curious to see where his numbers like just end up in general. But it's back to Tom Brady. A couple loose ends to tie there. Tom Brady's been to the Super Bowl 47% of the seasons he's played. So technically, there's a better chance that Tom Brady goes to the Super Bowl than Steph makes a three.
Making a three, which is crazy. Is
like obscure.
And one thing that Steph didn't say that I thought he might give a shout-out to, just in all the press conference buzz after he broke the record, is that the leading three-point percentage leader currently in the NBA is Seth Curry, who's shooting 59% from three right now.
You love him since he was a Mav.
See, I love him because he's a highly efficient player. I mean, he just fits so perfectly in the modern NBA. I mean, you talk about a guy, you plucked him out of the NBA right now and threw him in the mid-'90s, mid-'80s, he would not do well. Because he's not physical enough, right?
Or athletic enough.
The hand check, I mean, he couldn't have gotten around anyone, but spot-up shooters always will have a place in the league, and he's just a guy that's thriving on a team that's doing really well.
There's so many players.
Who has
like
Joel
curious.
Embiid, who you like as the MVP. You Dude. Said prior to the year, and right now, I think if the season ended, he probably would be the MVP.
It was a good call. It was one of my better calls, I felt. And
it doesn't mean that he's going to win MVP.
No, not at all.
He just has a lot of season to play. But
he looks great. And then to tie up another loose end, we mentioned T-Mac. T-Mac hit me up about a poll we had.
McNamara. Bolognese.
Yeah. He hit me up about a poll we had. He listened to the Rank Show. We were talking a little bit. And he's like, this poll you had with the would you rather Ray Lewis tackle you or bang your mom? And I would love for you to weigh in on that. Because
That's not
decision.
What the poll was it? I thought it was Brock Lesnar. Would you rather take a punch from Brock Lesnar or Ray Lewis? Or
no,
fight Brock Lesnar or
today
Ray Lewis?
I had another Ray Lewis one. Would you rather fist fight Brock Lesnar or Ray
that
Lewis?
That one was tough.
Really? I would rather fist fight Ray Lewis. I don't. It's like
that's really tough.
Just how do you
I mean you're losing in either situation.
How do you want to die at that point? But he and we may bring him back for a segment, not like every week, but just here and there, because that gravelly voice is missed so heavenly. The games, Packers, Bucks, Chiefs, Bills.
Mm-hmm.
Your takeaway once the Chiefs started pulling away was?
Well, now I have the line.
Oh, now you have the line.
Or at least the projection of what the line will be.
And it is?
3.5.
Which you're buying points.
Yeah. In favor of the
Chiefs.
Chiefs.
In favor of the Chiefs. You think it's going to be you think they're going to win by more than a touchdown?
It's not like a blind, oh, the Chiefs are so good.
No, I didn't think it was.
It's look at what. Part of it is because two of the safety. Winfield went down
yeah.
in the Bucs game against the Packers. Yeah. They played a tremendous game. but I still think the Packers should have won that game. The Packers lost that game more than the Bucks won it for me.
Yeah, but there were also certain, like, there was a couple.
I mean, there was a massive coaching flop by LaFleur at the end of the second half and at the end of the first half.
Well, it's like one of the, it's like the whole analytic thing is like, okay, it did increase their chance to win marginally. But those,
it was like 2.5%.
Do those analytics take into account that the ball is going back to Tom Brady? Like, does that count in the analytics? Is that part of the equation? Because if that's not part of the equation, you really can't go by that.
Why should it even matter?
Well, it's just like to a point of like, okay, if you're giving the ball back to so-and-so and you think you could stop them. Look, the Packers' defense had 3 picks.
The only scenario where I'm giving, where I'm comfortable giving the, quote-unquote, giving the ball back to someone, if I'm playing the Bears, right? If one of the other teams in the playoffs who had gotten there where you're like, I'm comfortable with watching this quarterback beat me because I've never seen him do it before.
Yeah.
Tom Brady obviously is not that guy. And even less to the fact that Tom Brady is under center or in the shotgun for the Bucks, and more so the fact that he has so many weapons and they can get one first down in multiple different ways.
But that doesn't
worry you? They had been running the ball pretty well.
Yeah.
Fournette had a great game. He's had a great playoff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was just bizarre play calling. And you have Aaron Rodgers, who has been dynamite in the red zone this year, probably will be the MVP, although if the MVP voters got a chance to watch any of the playoffs, they, of course, would pick Patrick Mahomes because he's unbelievable.
Yeah, but they don't do that. They
don't do that, right. All the voting has been secured before the first playoff game occurs. But tonight's game is everything you need to know about Patrick Mahomes. He's fantastic.
Yeah, he's
unbelievable.
I mean,
and the reason why I would pick the Chiefs to cover the spread and then additionally buy more points on the Chiefs is, if I were betting, is because I don't care that the Bucks have good pass rushers. It doesn't matter to me because I don't think that they're, it doesn't, no one can guard Tyreek Hill, and if you try and guard Tyreek Hill and you put two guys on Tyreek Hill, then Travis Kelce eats you alive across the middle. It's an almost impossible offense to defend.
Going back to the poll, another poll I put up, like, who's more valuable, Hop or Hill, and I really think Tyreek Hill's he might be the most valuable receiver right now. He's just so fast, and the way that he's just so malleable, the way you can use him. Not that Hop can't do those things, and not Davante Adams obviously is incredible, but the way they utilize Tyreek Hill is so good. He's so quick off the line.
Well,
you almost have to have a safety hanging over. And at that point, if you're doing that, then Travis Kelce is just going to pick apart the zone.
Right.
He's going to find an open pocket in the middle.
And they have other guys who can take advantage of open field, obviously. You know, we saw Mecole Hardman drop that punt, and it seemed like it was, kind of turning the tide of the game as early as it was for the Bills to be up 9-0 was pretty crazy. And you know, it puts the Chiefs in a bad position, but it doesn't really matter because the next two drives, they score, and then they're up, right? Mm-hmm. And Mecole Hardman was a big part of that. I mean, he had multiple. I think he had a long end around, and he had a long catch. Like, that guy.
And he had that muff punt, too, which didn't even matter.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, 9-0. It made no difference.
Inconsequential, yeah.
I mean, the Bucks pretty much have to pitch a perfect game on offense. Have to. You can't. Yeah. Like, a 3-and-out, fine. You can't turn the ball over and give them a positive field position. You have to, if you're in the red zone, you have to convert. You can't settle for field goals like the Bills did against them. That is a no-go. You have to cash in on that.
I think that they have to be perfect. You're exactly right. And it's going to be tough because of all the games that we watched today, of all the teams, this Kansas City Chiefs defense, especially their defensive backfield, covers better than any other team we've seen in the playoffs. I think this is just a team that's red hot defensively.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know,
Allen had nowhere to throw for a lot of these throws because his receivers were smothered.
That's Spagnuolo, dude. They turned it up in the playoffs last year. That Thornhill kid is pretty good. That Snead kid is looking like an excellent pick again.
Yeah,
a great find by Reed and them. And then you have guys up front, right?
Right.
You have guys up front who are Pro Bowlers. So it's not like it's like a legit team. I love the Bucks pass rush. Carlton Davis has been fantastic. He was solid against Davante Adams today. It's just, can you get a turnover off Mahomes? Can you, like, you need that. You need Mahomes. You need 2 turnovers against the Chiefs if you want to beat them. And that's, like, impossible in itself.
I don't think it's coming in the defensive backfield is my point. Of course, they have so many playmakers up front for the Bucks, like
Eric
Devin
Fisher
White.
Went out, though.
Like
a
David.
Huge one.
Eric
That's
Fisher.
A big one. That's a big one.
We saw Bakhtiari out, and that was clearly
a massive issue.
Clearly an Achilles heel for the Packers offense today.
I told we have a group text with a nut. We have so many sports group texts with our other buddy, former Charity Stripe guest, Adam Lazar White. And I had the comment, and my dad's a Jets fan, so I watch a lot of the Jet games, right? And so I got to watch Todd Bowles as a head coach. He was just a timid head coach for me. A guy, you know, but as a defensive coordinator, excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent clearly. At dialing up pressure. And they took advantage. They took advantage of Bakhtiari not being there. I think the spread, I would take the spread. Buying points is risky, but if I could get to 5 points, if you get to 5 points from three,
well, we'll
half,
see how it we'll see how it moves too.
Yeah, but if you
which get, it's gonna, I'd be surprised if it moves against the Chiefs.
Yeah, it'd be shocking.
The only like thing that makes me cautious of putting that bet in is that Brady is the quarterback.
Yeah,
for the Bucs.
Yeah,
and it's not even because of what Brady's done this year. It's just that he's Tom Brady, and he is really good at winning Super Bowls, as we know. He just somehow ends up on the right side of NFL history almost every time he plays.
Yeah.
Like you said, he's 47%.
Yeah, I mean, it's like one of those situations where, like, obviously both these guys have been there before. Andy Reid's been there before. Arians has been there before with the Cardinals. He's lost. It's going to be a high-octane game. I think Allen, look, he took that team as far as he realistically could have. I think we saw some holes. They had some issues in the offensive line, which was solid all
year. They can't run the football.
They can't run the football.
You have to have some semblance of a run game.
I think they need another. I would love to see them. I had the idea that they make a trade for a wide receiver, but I think they need to use the draft pick. They need to get a pass rusher in there. They need to make get something like that in the fold. For the Packers, there's a lot of Aaron Jones is not going to be back. They're going to let him go because they have A.J. Dillon, they have Williams, and they could find, unfortunately, there's so many talented running backs. You could just, like, look, the Buccaneers picked up Leonard Fournette off, like, you know, off the street pretty much.
Basically.
Jags cast him off and they brought him in. And plus the draft, there's always going to be good running backs. So you can really make a move in there and get another guy in the fold. Aaron Jones himself is like a, what, fifth, sixth round pick? So that's an issue. They need to get a wide receiver, regardless of who's at quarterback, because Aaron Rodgers in his press conference was like, hey, my future's uncertain. Do I think he's going to retire? I don't know.
Which is what you asked me. And I think it's more so he is pissed because Rodgers didn't really lose them that game.
Yeah.
If anyone, you could point the finger at Kevin King, but he was also injured coming into that game.
Yeah, they should not have played him.
That's tough. Yeah, I mean, guess who played him, right? It's the head coach and the defensive coordinators. They're the ones making that decision. Obviously, the trainers have something to do with it, and King himself saying whether or not he can go, what's really best for the team. Everyone's going to play in that game if you can, if you're the individual. But again, LaFleur, just you have to play prevent D right there. You can't let Scotty Miller get behind a defensive back. It just doesn't matter. It's fourth down. You know what they're doing. They're going to throw for the end zone. What else? They don't have enough time to throw it, and then they didn't have another timeout.
Yeah.
It just didn't make any sense that they allowed this touchdown.
It ended up being like the game.
It did. It was the game, and it was in the end of the first half, and then, of course, in the second half, the decision on fourth and goal on the 8 to kick the field goal made no sense whatsoever.
You can't put the ball in Tom Brady's hands when you're down and you need to get a stop. That's tough. It's even tougher to give him free points.
On the other side of it, it's like,
even free points. It's a free bucket.
At what point does a quarterback, does who the quarterback is determine what you do and not who the other quarterback is? Your quarterback, I just said it. He's going to win the MVP award. You have Aaron Rodgers. On the 8-yard line, fourth and goal, you go for it to score those 8 points, and you have to go for two, obviously. And then you see what happens. Then you let Tom Brady beat you instead of icing the game.
It was a soft move, and you can't be soft in the playoffs and expect to win. They also ran the ball pretty badly, which is very uncharacteristic of that team.
Bucks have a good rush defense.
Which, again, does not really matter for the Chiefs. It just doesn't. Like, does not. It almost is like, almost curious as to why they even took Edwards-Helaire. Not that he's a good player, he's a fine player.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, Daryl Williams has been starting over.
Exactly. It doesn't matter who's back there. It never will, as long as 15 is there. I mean, it can only help.
They're only going to run the ball when they know they can beat you or if they're icing the game at the very end.
But the crazy thing is, to ice the game, sometimes they just throw it.
Right. Right. And I mean, they ended up the game on Buffalo's 15 and in the game.
It's like, I don't know why they could have taken, I mean, again, like, not that they really need much, but they could have taken something else, which would have been interesting. So you're riding the Chiefs. I can't go against. They're too good. He's too good. He's too automatic. He's pretty just flawless.
Yeah.
He's just like a flawless player.
Well, and it helps when you have probably the best receiving tight end out there. I know you always, you know, you always bring up Gronk, and I think they're just a different type of receiver, right?
I'm not going to argue it. I mean, he's amazing.
He's unbelievable. They both had 10 plus catches in this game for over 100 yards. Kelce had 2 touchdowns. Tyreek had 1 or none. He had none. He didn't have a touchdown. But what is it? I mean, like, you know, the defensive game plan is shut those guys down, and they can't do it. No one can do it.
Well, they're like,
and even if you can, you try to, right? You try and shut Tyreek Hill down in the first half. Kelce eats you alive. You try and shut down Kelce in the second half. Hill eats you alive. It's just, it's one or the other, and then he gets the other guys involved. And then, you know, you try and target the receivers to shut them down, and then you realize that the quarterback behind under center is probably, he's the best in the league, probably should have been the MVP, and could go down as the best ever.
It's like watching Mike Trout. That's just what, it's like watching a young.
Who has all of the pieces around him.
Yeah, and he's probably the most flawless player at this age that I've ever seen.
If they win this game, they win the Super Bowl, they've won back-to-back. They run it back again next year. Is it going to be a better franchise no matter what happens? Because it's so much harder. It's not so much harder, but it's very difficult to win the Super Bowl. They still won't hold a candle to the Warriors franchise.
Oh, like that franchise? What's more? No, it's more impressive to
you
win
would
this,
still,
it's
you
more
would
impressive
still,
to win the Super Bowl than to win an NBA championship.
That's what I'm saying. Back-to-back Super Bowls, does that make...
Because if you have a conglomerate of... Like, listen, there's only... In the NFL, so many things can happen.
Who'd you think I was going to compare it to?
At the Patriots. And then, but I was like, what? And then no. The Warriors, like the thing with the thing.
How many times you guys win back-to-back?
Just
once. Once.
Yeah, but we went like multiple years in a row. And like the thing is like with the Pats, we went like 3 or 4 years in the first, you know, the 3 Super Bowls.
But if they win this year.
Is it more impressive? It's more impressive.
If they win this year. How are they not winning next year?
Well, that's what I do. I took the
like,
money.
You know
I
what I mean?
I
and at that point, obviously, they're a better team than the Patriots, than any of the Patriots. Even Belichick and Brady going back and back and back every single year after year after year. I'm going to take the three-peat over anything.
Yeah.
Which, of course, like they have to get the second one before they get the third. But
yeah. Well, I'm going to just whatever money. If they win again, I think I win $450. And I'm going to turn around and just put it on them to win it again. The next day on Monday.
Yeah.
There's no point. Like, what? Hill, Kelce, Mahomes, Hardman's still there. There's no turnover. It's like, it is like the closest thing we've seen in basketball because, like, in football, look, as good as Mahomes is, there's 3 facets of the game that he's not even involved in. Like, once you have that ultimate team in basketball, there's really no one that can take you out. Look, everyone's like, oh, James Harden. I say this all the time. James Harden is not the kind of guy that can get it done themselves. You can't, Giannis isn't the kind of guy, you know? And then everyone's like, is Luka ready to be that guy? Well, let's look at it prospectively. Who is that guy? Steph, LeBron, Kawhi, KD. There's 4 players that are that guy. So guess what?
I guess. Not even, really. Like, Steph can't win by himself.
Like, he had Klay and he had KD. The only guys that really got it done were like, like everyone even needs somebody.
LeBron never got it done by himself.
Needed,
you can't say that.
Wade, Bosh,
Kawhi is the closest.
Kawhi is the closest. So like realistically,
and even still, he had Kyle Lowry on his team. Who's an All Star. Pascal Siakam's been an All Star.
Yeah,
Marcus Gasol's been an All. I mean, Nick Nurse is now recognized as one of the best head coaches in the NBA.
Got the bag,
and even when he won with San Antonio, obviously he's with Pop and Tony Parker and Manu. So
he's with the franchise. So it's like in the NBA, even you can't win it by yourself. I mean, it's just in the NFL. Is so hard because you can be playing an excellent game as a quarterback like Rodgers was, and then there's like the biggest play in the Buccaneers game is like the no call. They held Davante Adams blatantly, spun him around, and they got the pick, turnover that cost the Scotty Miller touchdown. That is the whole game right there. So that's something that he can't even control. Not that doesn't happen in the NBA with no calls, but like NFL, I feel like it's more, it's even like, because you're giving up field position. You're giving up downs.
I mean, that happened early enough in the game.
It's
where
way different than a change of possession.
We can't say that if that doesn't happen, that the Packers win, obviously, but it totally changed the tide of the game.
Yeah,
that happens so much in the NFL of late in the last 3 years. I mean, you look at the Saints and the Rams game that defined who went to the.
That's the worst.
Defined
call.
Who went to the Super Bowl. It's crazy.
It's the worst. It is. It's worse than Jim Joyce blowing the Galarraga call for the perfect game, actually. And I thought that was the worst call I've ever seen. Blew a guy's perfect game.
Right.
And that was it is the worst call I've ever seen. It's not even close. I mean, I'm curious to see, again, though, if you look at the NFL, it's like, okay, who can – Seattle has work to do on the defensive side. And on defensive side of the ball and on the offensive line, Seattle has work to do.
Yeah.
Can they do that? Are the Cardinals going to take the step up? I don't know. Niners have questions. Rams have questions. Everyone in the NFC South, Falcons, Panthers, and now the Saints have questions.
Mm-hmm.
Bears, Lions, Vikings, and the whole NFC East is a mess. So if you're the Packers, realistically, you're looking at it, you're still at the minimum going next year the second best team as it stands.
Right.
It's not like this is like a – it's not like you're the Bears and you made this run and then like, okay, you're questioning, can we deal with Trubisky again?
You have a good defense. I mean, we didn't really talk about their defense, but Jair Alexander is fantastic.
He's
the second best corner in the league. They have great pass rushers, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith. They have – you know, pick up guys like Christian Kirksey. I mean, this is a good defense. Rashawn Gary, like I like this defense.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah. So they're really close, and you add a couple more pieces. Again, like you said, they lose Aaron Jones, but they should be able to fill that void pretty easily. And then maybe you can grab one other skill player for Aaron Rodgers. If I'm him, I'm running it back because it's the closest thing. You want to, especially your quarterback, and you're past 33, right? And you're as good as he is. You're as good as Tom Brady is.
Yeah.
Tom Brady went to the Bucs for a reason, right? He looked at the pieces that they had. He looked at the coach. He looked at all these different variables that he knows is what it takes to get the Super Bowl, which, of course, he's been 9 times, so he understands that. And he made the decision that would inevitably get him there. He's going to the Super Bowl. So I think that if you're Aaron Rodgers, you got to stay with the Packers because...
Yeah,
it's a high possibility that you guys make it right back to this NFC Championship game.
It would be more egregious for the Packers to let... I don't know. But it would be almost as egregious as the Packers to let Rodgers walk after an MVP
season. He can't let his ego get in the way here and say, couldn't get it done.
I'm done.
I'm going to...
That you can't control.
You can't control. Right. I want to go play with Shanahan or whatever it is, right?
But if like, he wants... If you're the Packers... And you
which,
have to keep
which would
costs.
Low key we're talking about places where he could go.
He would go to the Niners. That would be the spot.
And they're pretty ready. If everyone's back and everyone's healthy,
Listen, the Niners, Jimmy.
It would
G was
it would
out,
be the Brady to the Bucks move. It would.
Ike was out. Ike was in and out. Ike was great too.
It's great.
And they could.
Debo
go
was in and out. Yeah.
If you're like the Niners and Bosa was out, D4, the whole team was out. I mean, the Niners are a little tricky. They lost their defensive coordinator. You got to see how people come back.
Right.
But I think it's if you're a quarterback on the move, i.e. Matt Stafford, it's a very attractive place to go, more so than other spots.
Yeah. I mean, the more I think about it, the more I'm kind of talking myself into it, that it would be a nice place for Rodgers to end up and to kind of repeat what Brady's done this year.
Yeah, back in California, it'd be interesting. All right, let's go some basketball. I want to play a little game with you, a little
sure.
buy or sell with you. But before that, I believe we have another sponsor, a meaty sponsor. One that...
Well, we're in the meat of our show at this point, kind of the midpoint. and, you know, we're also in a new year. The new year comes tons of new big games in sports, Super Bowl being one of them. With big games, you need big stakes. Mm-hmm. Kansas City Steaks has the cuts you crave to celebrate the playoffs and the big game. Visit KansasCitySteaks.com/gameday and save up to $25 on combos. Perfect for game day. Plus, get free Shippong with the code BELIEVE, BLEAV, at checkout. Try out the snack pack combo featuring small plates with big flavor. Here we go, Josh. Mini beef Wellington steak burger sliders, mac and cheese melts, shrimp wrapped in bacon. I'm just...
What, you know, did you hear what
does
I...
Does that not sound unbelievable?
Hey, Nick would love... Nick has missed the Nick, ad read twice now, and
yeah,
he would love this.
Nick loves the big game, and he would love the snack pack combo. The Nicky Snacks snack pack combo. Again, mini beef Wellington steak burger sliders, mac and cheese melts, shrimp wrapped in bacon. Every order is flash frozen, delivered directly to your home. Satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. basically, that's the first sponsor that's ever guaranteed that. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
Basically, every cut of steak imaginable, plus appetizers, desserts, barbecue, and so much more. Again, go to KansasCitySteaks.com/gameday. Use the code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, at checkout for free shipping. Kansas City Steaks, big games, big taste.
Having your own home is awesome, but it's also a lot of work. The good news? Finding help for your projects is easier than ever. Introducing Angie, the app that puts all your home care needs at your fingertips. Need a pro to fix that emergency leak? Maybe find someone to build a deck or even set your seasonal tasks on autopilot. Angie can handle all that and more. Expert pros, hundreds of home projects, clear pricing, and the easiest way to book and pay in seconds. This is Angie, your home for everything home. Download the app today.
Yep. All right. Ready for this game?
Yeah.
Called buy or sell. I'm going to make some statements, and you're going to buy them or sell them.
Okay.
Statement. Utah Jazz are the biggest threat in the Western Conference to the LA squads.
To the LA squads. Sell.
So who would it be? Who? It's very early in the season, so these are just some gut reactions.
Yeah.
But the way things are starting to trend and look.
They look great. Obviously, Donovan Mitchell is one of the most underrated players in the NBA. They are the third team right now contending for the 1 and 2 spot. They're at 12-4, sitting behind both the LA teams who are 13-4. They're playing really well within the conference. They're 8-2. You know, the other teams that come to mind, the Nuggets, the Blazers, the...
have some injuries.
The Suns.
Yeah.
I think us at full tilt with KP back every single game. Those are the teams that you're talking about, right? I mean, I'm not going to put the Spurs in there. These old guys have been playing really well with the Spurs, but they can't keep it up.
No.
The Grizzlies, too young, right? Great head coach. Kind of is, I think, going to continuously put them past what they actually are.
Yeah.
Taylor Jenkins, fantastic head coach.
Shout out St. Mark's.
Yeah, shout out to my high school. I would still pick the Nuggets in a playoff series against them because they've been there. They've been deep in the Western Conference. And I'm going to take, I think that, you know, CJ McCollum is playing fantastic basketball right now. Dame, we all know what he can do in the playoffs. So I'm still going to give them the edge on the Jazz as well. Because
And Nurkic are both out a couple weeks, though.
That's fine. I mean, these teams are going to get to the playoffs. Yeah. And if the Blazers, look, those guys are out 2 to 3 weeks here and there. That bumps the Blazers down to the sixth spot. The Jazz stay where they are, and they end up playing the Blazers in the first round.
Give me that.
That's my sneaky upset pick. It's not sneaky, though. It's just that I think that they're as good of a team, if not better. The Nuggets, Western Conference, Finals. I mean, I tell you all the time, it's like I'm a big believer in having been there, having put in those reps in playoff basketball. It's a totally different breed of basketball than the regular season. And I just, Jokic is... We're talking about Joel Embiid being the MVP. He's right there.
Might be Jokic.
He's right there with him, right?
It's crazy.
If the Nuggets were the number one team in the Western Conference, he would be that pick right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just think that the Jazz still have a way to go personnel wise. It has nothing to do with Donovan Mitchell. I think he's made the leap. But you put Rudy Gobert up against all those other guys, number twos, and it's tough.
You
right?
can make a move. Give me that sell low on Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
Or buy low, sorry. Give me that buy low.
I would like Griffin to the Jazz. So, no, I'm going to sell it.
Okay, cool. Right or wrong? Was I right or wrong? It's very early in the season.
Yeah.
That I know. That the Van Gundy hire by the Pelicans stinks.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like you were right. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know... I don't want to put it all on Van Gundy, though, because I think that part
Not
of it
all
is...
Of it.
Their GM and the they've put together a cast of characters that it's kind of tough to expect them to succeed because you're putting all your eggs in a bunch of young guns.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, Steven Adams is kind of the only veteran guy on the team. Bledsoe, that was a terrible move. There's been a lot of missteps move-wise. I think that, you know, playing into the kind of, we're going to have 8 guards on our team and see what happens with that. It's like you're fighting for minutes and some of these guys can't develop like they need to. You've got Zion, you've got Brandon Ingram, but Zion has been terrible on the defensive side of the ball. He's been awesome on offense. And that's what we like. And I think classic Van Gundy kind of unlocking that with him, right? Like, I think that's been really helpful for him. But you need him. you need Zion to be incredibly gritty on the defensive side. You kind of want him to expend more energy on that side of the ball, even though he can put up 30 and 13 every game.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily want that. Like, you need to let him kind of be Ben Wallace on the defensive side of the ball and just wreak havoc in the paint for teams, and also take it to the perimeter, start stuff on the break, and let Brandon Ingram really take a lot of that offensive load, which he's already doing, but just even more so on him, because defense is important. And it's really important when the rest of your team can't play a lick of defense.
Yeah. I mean, it's they're relying so heavily on Lonzo and Josh Hart. And it's like,
right.
Their defensive side is weak. It's weak. And it's, but it goes.
And Bledsoe was a bad move. And so he's not out on the court with them. And so he's kind of, he was all defensive last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's not doing much on that side of the ball. Adams has never been a tremendous defender. He's
like an offensive guy.
Like, he's good. He can block a shot. And Jackson Hayes is, you know, he's still not there yet. So I don't know. This team can't play defense.
But that goes to my point of, like,
if you look on offense.
If you look at the Knicks personnel wise are nowhere near where the Pelicans are on paper, beginning of the season.
No, not at all.
But they're playing unbelievable defense. Unbelievable. And it just stems from the top down. Yeah. I'm not a Van Gundy fan, is all. Buy or sell the Sixers as the best team in the East?
I'm gonna sell.
Okay.
I think the Nets are the best team.
Okay.
I just think
you don't think they have a problem in the middle.
I think they have.
You do, obviously. You don't think. My better question would be: is, do you think?
I think they're a bad match. I think the 76ers are a bad matchup for them.
Okay.
Obviously, size, because. Yeah. DeAndre Jordan is not the DeAndre Jordan from the Clippers. Yep. And he cannot, Embiid can play 40 minutes in a game. DeAndre Jordan can't. So every team really has a mismatch there, because if you're the Bucks, do you want Giannis playing Joel Embiid you want him playing him on defense for 35 minutes in a game, especially in a playoff game? No. The Celtics don't have the guys that can really keep up with him, but they do have bodies they can throw at him.
The thing with the Celtics when we played them was, we didn't have Tatum, so it's tough to see.
Right, and he's been out for a little while here, so that's tough. Brown has been fantastic. I mean, I think it's really close for all these teams. I think you guys are really close in there. I think the Brown-Tatum step somehow got even better, mostly on Brown. It's exactly what needed to happen, and then you've got guys stepping up, right? Pritchard, Grant Williams, Semi's been better. Yeah. All those guys have been better than they were last year.
Teague's nice.
Which has helped. Yeah, Teague and Tyson.
Tyson's been solid.
Tice, yeah, we know who he is, and we like him.
Kemba's come back pretty strong, which is good.
The Pacers' shitty situation, because you don't have Caris LeVert.
Always for them.
Honestly, if they had Caris LeVert, I might have said them, because
they're all, yeah, I love
them. They really have a great young core.
I love that.
But the Nets just have it's like,
what do you do?
We're talking about how you win an NBA championship, and LeBron hasn't ever won with another guy. He's never won without other guys, right? It was Kyrie and Kevin Love when he was in Cleveland. It was Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. He plays with Anthony Davis, who's another top five player in the league. Anthony Davis is tremendous.
When push comes to shove, the two of the top 10 offensive players of all time are on the same team.
And two of the top seven players in the league. Forget offensive, just straight up.
Yeah.
The top seven players in the league.
Yeah.
We've kind of had to,
plus
like,
Kyrie.
We've had to, like, expand our, we can't really say top five anymore, because there's too many guys that are good.
Got to include people.
We were forgetting Kevin Durant for a long time because he was hurt.
But yeah,
Kevin
Durant, as an excuse to throw other guys in there.
Joel Embiid right now would win the MVP, but is he the best player in the league? No, I don't think so. I think Kevin Durant's the best player in the league.
Yeah, Kevin Durant.
He's unbelievable.
Just so you know, he's got 6 assists a game, which is wild.
Yeah.
He's shooting 48% from three. And
that's
shooting
crazy.
54 from the field on 20 shots. He's got a block and a half a game, and rebound-wise, he's also got 7 of those. He's averaging 31.
Yeah.
He's so not good. Leading the league in player efficiency rating, though.
Okay.
Which, I don't know if that matters to you.
But he would be top 4 in MVP voting right now.
Yeah, he's third to Jokic, who's first, then Embiid.
And then is LeBron fourth?
In player efficiency rating?
No, I thought you were looking at, like, an MVP.
No, this is just MVP me, rating. Like, free-balling it. Here's my next question.
I still don't buy the Bucks. I can't buy them because their best player can't get it done in the playoffs. So I can't buy them.
I think they're thin. I think they're thin too. I think they're a thin team.
I don't think I think that the Pelicans got the worst end of the deal. Yeah. But I also think that Drew isn't the Drew that he was last year or 2 years before.
Yeah.
it sucks. They don't have George Hill. I feel like Bobby Portis has been pretty decent for them.
Yeah.
DiVincenzo is like fine. The whole Bogdanovich flop of a trade that cost him big time, because I feel like he would be great for them.
Need him.
They really, really
need
him.
A body. They need one more guy. Like the Celtics, I'll have two more for you. Going to the Celtics, I was worried they wouldn't have the bodies, but Kemba's back. The other guys have been solid. Pritchard's been, he's hurt now, but he'll be back, and that's been a huge bright spot. Another great pick. What would you consider?
I think if I'm looking at playoff series right now, y'all, the Nets and the 76ers would beat the Bucks in a playoff series.
I feel confident in that.
In my mind.
Okay. I feel confident in that. I got 2.5 more for you.
Yeah. You were right, by the way, about the Raptors.
What? They're going to take a step back.
Step back, but what were they? They were 2-8, now they're 7-9.
Oh, me saying they're going to come back.
Coming back in the season. Yeah.
I was going to be like, oh, who are you more worried about, the Raptors or the Heat? But the Heat don't have Butler right now. The Raptors are off to their slow start. I'm not worried about either of those teams. I think it's a dumb question. The better question would be...
But do I think that those other teams that I just mentioned, the Celtics, the Sixers, and the Nets, are still better than those teams? Yeah. Better than the Raptors and better than the Heat?
We'll see the Cavs.
I know the Heat just beat the Nets, right?
Yeah.
The other night.
Where it stands right now, the Heat and the Raptors will jump back in. I think the Knicks will fall out of the playoffs. We're like 17 games in there.
Hope not. They're fun.
I love the Knicks. It's so weird, but I actually root for them. I think the Cavs and the Hawks are like interesting to me, because to me the Hawks are slightly underperforming. The Cavs are overperforming, I guess, but maybe not.
I think the Hawks are just not very good. But to their defense, Bogdanovich has been out for a little while here. So has Gallinari. They've been playing without those guys. And
Gallinari's a risky signing. He's always hurt.
Hunter was out for a little while. I mean, they were playing Solomon Hill as their starting small forward the other night. And that's going to happen, right, in the league this year with the COVID restrictions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Guys are going to be in and out of the lineup. I still think that they have a serious issue on defense.
Mm-hmm.
Capella has been playing really well. And John Collins' defense isn't really his strong point, right? He's more of kind of a scoring, rebounding.
It lies on the guard end.
They just get shredded on the guard end, because their guards can't play a lick of defense.
That's an issue. I think the Cavs are fun because I think Sexton's great.
I really like the Cavs.
I did too. Remember, I thought I was kind of into them.
And now give them Jared Allen and give them Torian Prince. Now they have a wing off the bench who can create. KPJ, clearly they didn't even want him. He's gone. What they trade him for? A second round pick?
Kind of valuable nowadays, I guess.
Sure, but shows you how much they value him. Yeah. Right.
I think the thing with the Cavs, I think.
Really like Chetty, too.
I think the Cavs should take Darius Garland, who I think is good.
Yeah.
And call the Chicago Bulls and say, we'll give you we're gonna re-sign Drummond, which mm-hmm. they should, because he's excellent.
Right.
Re-sign Drummond. You have Sexton. Take Garland, ship him to Chicago with something else, and bring in Zach LaVine.
Yeah, I'm cool with it.
Go make that move.
You're not sacrificing anything defensively, which, like, if a team is bringing Zach LaVine in, my question is, okay, do we have other guys around Zach LaVine that can mask his his defensive woes and let him just do his thing, which is scoring buckets?
Mm-hmm.
He's averaging 28 a game this year.
Yeah.
I would love that, because I think Garland is like, he's cool move. He's good, but he's not necessary for them to be successful.
Exactly.
Sexton's the guy.
Exactly. All right, last question.
Yeah. And again, Chetty Osmond, I like him a lot.
Which franchise? Rank these franchises from best to worst shape, and then we'll rock and roll.
Okay.
Kings, Wolves, Pistons.
Kings, Wolves, Pistons. Well... The Wolves, I still rank them at the top.
You still think they're at the top?
Because Karl-Anthony Towns is there. The most valuable...
Of all the players on the team.
Of all those, yeah. And he's still under 25. So that's why I have them there. I mean, D'Lo's like 26 now, I think. So you still have, you know, a good amount of years with him. Anthony Edwards seems to be a pick that's hitting. He's been playing really, really well. Yeah. I like what he offers. He's not the same as LaMelo, and I said that from the jump if LaMelo hits what he offers, his basketball savvy, his ability to pass, his ability to rebound and compete as well, and he's also a better shooter than people were giving him credit for, is exactly what everyone's looking for, right? It's everyone wants the kind of most desirable prospect is the Luka, is the 6'7" guy who can be your point guard and do everything for your team. And that's what LaMelo Ball does.
Yeah. I think Edwards is going to be good. I just don't think he'll be better than LaMelo, which is a problem.
He's just limited in certain senses where LaMelo is not. He can't create for other guys like LaMelo can.
Yeah. Which
basketball is a team game. That's super, super important.
They really blew it last year. Like, the Culver pick is missing badly.
Yeah.
That pick is missing badly.
Was the seventh pick?
Sixth.
Sixth.
Ahead of White.
Right.
Ahead of Rui Hachimura, who you knew at least what he was going to be.
Yeah.
Ahead of Harrow. And, you
defensible.
Know.
Sure, defensible.
Defensible. But ahead of PJ Washington, who was good. You know, like, Jackson Hayes. Like, again, like, it's just like a Kobe. Like, it's a weird pick. It's a weird pick to me. And it just does not work.
It's one of those picks where, like, we see it all the time in the NBA, right? Because it's like, those guys are 12 to 15 because we know what they are.
Yeah.
Because they have a low ceiling. And because of that, we don't want to take them because we'd rather risk it on this guy who has a potentially high ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly, it's early, right? It's his second year, and he can develop into something. We've seen guys have not great first and second years and then become something later. But it's tough. And these guys are all kind of prospering across the league. It's like it's the same thing, the Suns and Cam Johnson. It was like we knew what Cam Johnson was. We knew he's a solid player. And look, now he's finding a role. And we knew what Mikal Bridges was.
Yeah.
And look what he's become for them this year. So it's a whiff. And you can't whiff if you're a franchise on the rebound. The second team, I think the second team's the Pistons.
Fox and Halliburton are great. I think the Wolves are in trouble because they don't have their first round pick next year, and it's going to be a good one. That goes to the Warriors.
Sure. What else do the Kings have a really hard time? Because they're in Sacramento.
And no one wants to play there.
And it's not to say that Minnesota is a desirable place to play, and neither is Detroit. But Detroit, we're talking about it with our buddy Adam Lazar White. It's a sports city. Things could turn around in Detroit a lot quicker than they can in Sacramento.
Because no one's going to come there on their own.
No one. At all.
I wouldn't even try to. I'd try to not even drive through it. And I'd never even been there.
One at all. And there was also their management did a really terrible job over the last 10 years of picking anyone, right? Like no
outside
one
outside of DeMarcus Cousins,
who he even still had his issues.
Yeah,
although he dropped 28 and 17 on the Mavs, like a beast. He hit like six threes against us. He's wild. I really think the Kings. I don't see that they're making moves forward outside of the Halliburton pick that fell into their lap, and they should be so gracious that happened because he is great.
I think the Knicks messed up.
And I think Fox is fantastic. But we know that De'Aaron Fox can't be the best player on your team and you be a perennial playoff contender.
Yeah. Which is like, has to be.
I love De'Aaron Fox. I love watching him play.
He's awesome.
He pushes the pace. He's that fast guard that he's probably the fastest in the league. Has the best foot speed. He's athletic. Finishes at the rim. His shot's getting better. He creates for his teammates. He's a good rebounder. I really like him. I mean, a lot of the same stuff that I liked about John Wall, I like about De'Aaron Fox. Bagley is such a bummer. And
just
we
the injuries, bro.
We both
big
really
man
liked
injury.
Him.
Big man injuries are issues.
We both really liked him coming out of college.
Especially for big man, yeah.
I
will say, though, on the last point, the Kings, I think, and I tell this my dad's a Knicks fan, I tell him all the time, I say, the top and pick was a media pick. We don't know what's going to happen, but from the quick gut check, Halliburton is better than him as a basketball player, and he fits the Thibodeau mold of being a defensive long guy.
Yeah.
It's just a weird pick. He would have been great with quickly.
But the Pistons, they have – people are going to come after Derrick Rose and Blake Griffin.
They'll get something for him.
They'll have
the first pick or something like
they'll
that.
Get something for him. So, you know, more assets that they can then invest and get some young guys. They have Jeremy Grant – who
sweet
good for them because their player development staff and their player scouting staff clearly knew what they were doing and knew that they would be comfortable paying this guy what they paid him because he's that good.
Well, he's worth the money. It's not even an expensive contract. It's like $20 million a year for
this
guy,
which comparatively to other guys in the league is pretty cheap.
You could you could trade him for.
We thought they were
amount.
Overpaying though, knowing what he was last year.
We
for
did
Nuggets.
Say that, but again, like looking at it now, they've kind of unlocked him.
Yeah.
And he's valuable. I mean,
he's awesome.
Dude, I wish the Celtics had him. I wish we threw him that money.
He'd be great.
I would trade for him. Again, I think they could even sell on him, honestly.
I mean, this is a hot take, but if you take him, if you pluck him right now and you put him on the Celtics, he's probably your third best player.
Kemba's come back. Nah.
Fourth. Behind Kemba, though, but yeah. Maybe more. He might be a better player than Marcus Smart right now, currently. I mean, it's tough to compare them because the volume that he has right now is so much.
Smart's so good on defense.
Smart's so fantastic. But Jeremy Grant's a great defender as well.
Yeah, and Smart's rough on offense sometimes.
But Josh Jackson is turned it around. He's been great this year.
Let's go, baby. I'm still alive.
So there's still hope for Jared Culver is the point.
Yeah, end around. Yeah.
But I really liked Killian Hayes' pick. I like Sekou, who isn't even really playing for them. I like Isaiah Stewart. They just have a lot of young guys that, like, can develop and get better. Sadiq Bey, obviously the pick this year we like, is a 3-and-D guy.
He's a great pick. Another great pick. Yeah, okay. I'm with you. You've selling me a bit.
Mikhailuk is like a good three-point guy who you can just kind of like let him rip threes. Mm-hmm. Wayne Ellington is somehow still playing basketball in the NBA. Wild.
Let's go, Wayne.
Yeah, I mean, they just have those two pieces that they can swing around and get something back for it. And I just feel like they're at ground zero.
Yeah.
And the Kings have already started to build, and it's not going well.
It's not looking good.
Right.
I think that for the Wolves, quite frankly. But they have
– But they have Cat.
They have Cat. I don't think he's going to be there for long. I think he's
– Well, if he leaves, I'm – yeah, my picks get flopped 1,000, big time. Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, fun one, cool one. And we will see. We have a great guest coming up. Austin Eckler is the next guy we have in the docket.
Running back, y'all.
Fans out there, drag both feet in bounds. We're going to full count, rip that puck at that putt at your PKs because they're free and your free throws. Why toss?
Because they're free.
Because they're free. We outro. We love you.
We sitting here. I'm supposed to be the franchise player. And we in here talking about practice.
Clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Rebound box. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game! Gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.